Miracle.
So today's Bible reading comes from Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 15. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you are praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then in this way. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses.
Morning, everyone, and shalom to you all. Thank you very much. We already greeted one another with peace, but let's do that again. Can you say shalom to the people around you? Say, in fact, shalom alechem. That'd be a little bit better. Shalom alechem. Peace I give to you. It's great to be able to come back and share with this congregation. It does seem that I come in the summer, in January. I was here last year, and it is a joy for me to come and be involved in this community, just in this very small way, to make some contribution at the beginning of the year. It always seems that Mark is away when I'm preaching, which actually is very reassuring for me. That means that he can trust me, not to say something that he wouldn't like. So I better behave myself this morning. But it is good to be here, and I bring greetings to you in the name of Yeshua, in the name of Jesus the Messiah. And I want to just remind people, if perhaps you've never met me before, my name is Lawrence Hirsch. I work with a ministry called Celebrate Messiah, and our focus is to reach out to Jewish people. And we work here together with you in Caulfield, working amongst the Jewish community here. And also, we work in other parts of Australia, reaching out to Jewish people in Sydney, up in Perth, and in Canberra, and Brisbane. And also, we work in New Zealand, working amongst Israelis that travel around New Zealand every year, and also in the far east of Russia, working amongst Jewish people there. I'm not only the ministry director of Celebrate Messiah, but also the pastor of Beit HaMashiach, that is House of the Messiah. And so we work just down the road in Bamber Road, where we have a congregation. And so I'm the pastor or rabbi of that congregation. And our desire is to bring the message to the original messengers, to bring the gospel message back to our Jewish people, from whence the gospel came from in the first place. Now, actually, some of our three areas of ministry is doing evangelism, making disciples through evangelism. If you have time, have a look on the internet at some of our websites, celebratemessiah.com.au, and there's a lot of great information there about Israel, about Jewish people, about prophecy, the Jewish roots of our Christian faith. Also, we have an evangelistic site that might be very helpful to you. It's called isaiah53.com.au. And we're going to be updating that shortly, too, with lots of wonderful testimonies of Jewish people who have come to faith in the Messiah. These testimonies might help you as you witness to Jewish people, perhaps in your area where you live or the place that you work or study or go to school. So keep abreast of that website, isaiah53.com.au. We also love to plant communities of worshiping disciples as an outreach to Jewish people, and we plant what's called messianic congregations, congregations that worship Yeshua or Jesus in a culturally sensitive way. And that's what our congregation down the road, Beit HaMashiach, is all about. And then we also just simply want to do good in the name of Yeshua, to love Jewish people in the name of Yeshua. And that's perhaps one of the most important and efficient, you know, effective ways, just showing love. And that's what we're all called to do. Christians certainly do that very well. And I want to encourage you to love your Jewish friends, family, neighbor, co-worker, and love them in the name of Yeshua. I have a book table at the back if you have time to come and have a look at some of the things. There's a newsletter that we put out. This particular one, you might grab this and notice that it's full of all the billboards that we have in this area. Have you noticed how all the real estate agents are always sponsoring and advertising Jewish events? We've taken a lot of photos of some of those events. It's just an indication of the vibrancy of the Jewish community here, and reminds me, whenever I see these events, how important it is for us to be here and sharing the good news of the Messiah with our Jewish people. So have a look at that particular newsletter. There's some others there as well. If anyone wants to come with my wife and I to Israel this year, we're taking a tour. See Israel through Jewish eyes. Are you coming with? Good. One already, maybe two. So come and join us in May as we go to Israel together. And I have a calendar. These calendars are really helpful. Jewish Art Calendar. This year, our calendar is of the Other Holy Land. Caulfield, we call the Other Holy Land. The Other Holy Land is Brooklyn, New York. The real Holy Land, Israel, of course. So these are pictures of Brooklyn this time. And anyone who gets our newsletter, fills out your name and address on our clipboard today, will get one for free. And it's a very useful tool in witnessing to Jewish people, because you can anticipate the next Jewish holiday and then wish your Jewish friends a happy Passover or Purim, which actually Purim is next, etc. And you also see what readings are being read in the synagogue each week around us here. You know that in this area there are 45 synagogues and about 75,000 Jewish people. So if you become a little bit more aware and you can create opportunities to have conversations and to share your faith in Jesus the Messiah. Now, when I was here a year ago, I shared about Jesus, our Jewish Messiah. And today, I guess, in some ways, a little bit of a continuation of that message. Jesus, of course, came as the Messiah of Israel, but he also was a rabbi. And he had people who followed him as disciples. And so last time we looked at the Jewishness of Jesus, and the way that he taught his disciples was very much in the same style as rabbis, but Jesus also had special authority. He spoke as one who had special anointing and authority, because, of course, he was not just an ordinary rabbi. He was the Messiah, the Son of God, the Word of God made flesh. And so we really, last time, looked at the Jewishness of the gospel message. And today, we'll look a little bit more at this, because we're going to look at the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. We often call it the Lord's Prayer, but perhaps it should be called the Disciples' Prayer, because it is a prayer that Jesus wrote and gave to his disciples and said, this is how you should pray, as a model for effective prayer. And of course, we should expect that this prayer that Jesus gave us would be very powerful. It would be very effective, because the Master himself wrote it. There's only two prayers in the Bible, I think, that God himself wrote. He inspired people to write many other prayers, but two that he wrote. One is the Aaronic benediction back in the book of Numbers, chapter 6, also known as the priestly blessing, and then this prayer, the disciples' prayer. And so since Jesus himself, Yeshua, was Jewish, it shouldn't surprise us at all that this prayer, the disciples' prayer, is infused with Jewish idioms and imagery, and it, in fact, also draws on the Jewish context that Yeshua taught in. Of course, he, as I said, was a rabbi, and so a lot of the prayers that that were around at that time also reflects some of the aspects of the Lord's Prayer as well. And so we should expect this because the Gospels were certainly written in a very strong Jewish context. And so the Lord's Prayer is found both in the Gospel of Luke and also the Gospel of Matthew. I'll focus today on Matthew's account of the Lord's Prayer. It's well known that the Gospel of Matthew was certainly written in a very Jewish context and written really as an evangelistic message to proclaim that Yeshua, Jesus, was the King Messiah of Israel. And so the Gospel of Matthew has a lot of references to the Bible that Yeshua read. Of course, that's the Old Testament. And there's a lot of Jewish terminology and idioms within the Gospel of Matthew. And so Matthew himself, if we think about Matthew, he was working for the RTO, the Roman Tax Office. He was not the most popular person around, as we know. His name meant gift of God, but I bet you no one thought of him that way in his former life as a tax collector. But we know, according to Matthew's own account, that he met Yeshua and his life was completely changed. And God used even his skills that he had acquired to then write this gospel, which is a fantastic and amazing gospel that so clearly portrays that Yeshua is the King Messiah. And the context of the Lord's Prayer is also helpful for us to understand. The teaching of the Lord's Prayer comes in three chapters of the Gospel of Matthew, chapters 5 to 7, which we know as the Sermon on the Mount. In the Sermon on the Mount, Yeshua, Jesus, as the Messiah, is teaching his disciples about the kingdom of God, and he's teaching them the true meaning of God's law, the true meaning of Torah. So he, as the Messiah, is teaching the true intent and how we as disciples, as subjects of the kingdom of God, should live. And so it's quite natural then that as part of this teaching that Yeshua gives us as his disciples, that he would teach us how to pray. And so the kingdom of God is always at the heart of Jewish prayer. And this is what Yeshua picks up when he teaches his disciples how to pray. Just listen to this prayer in Hebrew. Avinu shebashamayim, hitkadash shemecha, tavor malchutecha, yaseh retzoncha ba'aretz ka'asher na'asah bashamayim. Ten lanu hayom lechem chukenu, uslach lanu et ashmutenu, ka'asher solchim anachnu, la'asher ashmulanu, ve'al tivienu lidei masa, ki im hatzilenu min ha'ra, ki lecha hamlecha ve'hagvara ve'hatiferet le'omei olomim. Amen. It's a beautiful prayer. And it sounds, for me, so beautiful in Hebrew. Let us look also at the English. And I'm using the version of the Bible, which is called the Complete Jewish Bible, which tries to bring out the Jewish idioms and the terminology in the New Testament. And this is how the Complete Jewish Bible translates this prayer. You, therefore, pray like this. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us the food we need today. Forgive us what we have done wrong, as we too have forgiven those who have wronged us. And do not lead us into hard testing, but keep us safe from the evil one. For kingship, power, and glory are yours forever. Amen. And so Yeshua has already warned his disciples just prior to this in verses 7 to 8 not to pray this prayer as a magical formula, as a magical mantra to be repeated over and over again. But this prayer that the Messiah taught us, I think, is a paradigm for powerful and effective prayer, a model prayer for disciples of the kingdom. And this prayer beautifully shows us some of the vital themes and some of the principles that are desired for effective worship in the Messiah's kingdom. So let's just look at each little section of this prayer. First of all, God our Father. God our Father. In Hebrew, it's Avinu Shebashamayim. Can you all try and say those words? Avinu Shebashamayim. Avinu is a beautiful Hebrew prayer, I guess. Our Father. It's the first part of this prayer. Avinu. Our Father. Shebashamayim. In the heavens. The idea of God being our Father is certainly not new to Jewish faith. Throughout the scriptures, there are many references to God being the Father of the nation of Israel. In Exodus chapter 4, verse 22, God says, "Israel is my firstborn son." And the prophet Isaiah says, "You, Lord, are our Father, our Redeemer from of old is your name." Of course, there's many, many prayers in also in the Jewish prayer book that we refer to God as our Father. Every week, and certainly during the week as well, the Jewish synagogues follow a liturgy that's found in a book called the Siddur, which is the Jewish prayer book. I guess very similar to the Anglican prayer book, which I think is probably modeled on it, to really take you through a whole lot of ancient, beautiful Hebrew prayers. And there's many times references to God being Avinu, our Father, or Malkenu, our Father and our King. And I love this aspect of this prayer where Yeshua begins his prayer with our Father, really emphasizing that God is not just my Father, but God is our Father. It really emphasizes the Jewish, the communal aspect of Jewish prayer. In Judaism, you actually cannot have a prayer service, an official prayer service, without 10 Jewish men. If you don't have 10 Jewish men together, you can't have an official service. And this really, again, emphasizes the communal aspect. In the Hebraic thinking, the sense of corporate identity is always reinforced. We are part of, and we pray with, and for the community. And so even when you pray alone, you are still praying as a representative of your community. And you petition God on their behalf as well as on your own, for your own. This perspective is actually not very natural to us living in the West, and certainly not in Australia, where we, in our culture, emphasize this rugged individualism. But really, this prayer that the Lord teaches his disciples reinforces the fact that we are part of a greater community. We are part of the body of Messiah. And this is, of course, very important for us. Of course, personal petitions have their place in prayers. And of course, the Psalms, for instance, the hymnal or the prayer book of the nation of Israel, had many personal pleas to God. But they really never take precedence over the awareness that we are part of the corporate body. By faith and through God's grace, we also read in the New Testament that God has brought Gentiles who are not originally part of God's people, who wouldn't have been able to call God our Father in a very covenantal sense, now through Messiah, Jews and Gentiles together, through faith in Jesus, are part of this faith community that can call God our Father. Jews and Gentiles, through faith in Jesus, have been made one. Our sins have been atoned for through the Messiah's blood. We've been reconciled to God, the Father, through Jesus, the Messiah. We've been adopted into his family as sons and daughters, now in good standing. So together we can say, Avinu Shebashamayim, our Father in heaven. So after that initial introduction, God as our Father, Yeshua also teaches that God is holy. And the Hebrew is a beautiful term, Hitkadash Shemecha. Hitkadash Shemecha. In very typical Jewish fashion, Messiah adds this phrase, Hitkadash Shemecha, may your name be kept holy. Or some of the older translations say, and I know we used it here this morning in our liturgy, hallowed be your name. Hallowed. That word is a very difficult word to understand for most people if you don't come from a Christian background. I remember back in South Africa, where I come from, the public schools would always begin the day with the Our Father prayer. So we were always having to pray Christian prayer at the beginning of our school days. And I never understood what it meant. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. I had no idea that it meant to sanctify God's name. Some of you might have actually met a rabbi, a local rabbi here who had come to faith in Jesus the Messiah. His name was Harold Valance, and he died some years ago. But he was a wonderful man, a little bit cheeky, to be honest. He always would make a joke about this prayer, "Our Father in heaven, Harold be your name." But not Harold, hallowed, which means to sanctify God's name. And this, of course, is a reflection of the very first commandment, one of the first of the Ten Commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. You shall hallow or sanctify his name. But I think there's more to it than that. I'll explain later. Now, there's many traditional prayers that focus on the holiness of God's name. One of the most ancient of Jewish prayers, which are still prayed today, is a prayer called Kaddish. And this Kaddish prayer is prayed actually at funerals, or also in memory of the dead. But it's a beautiful prayer that praises God. It's a wonderful hymn of praise. And the Kaddish prayer dates back 2,000 years ago, and it was originally written in Aramaic. And this is how it begins. Hitkadash vehitkadal shemei rabah be'alma divah cherutei. Glorified and sanctified be God's great name through the world which he created according to his will. Glorified and sanctified be God's name. So you can see it's very similar to Yeshua's prayer that he taught us. We are called to sanctify God's name and to keep it holy. God's name represents much more than just an identification tag, if you like. In Hebraic thought, God's name represents all that he is. His character, his nature, and his authority. So to keep God's name as holy in our lives, or to sanctify his name, has to do with the way we conduct our lives. And I'll mention this at the end. The other aspect of this prayer of the Lord's is the fact that we are part of God's kingdom. And this moves us to the area of petition, where we are praying to God for something. And the Hebrew is Tavor Malchutecha Yatzer Retzoncha Ba'aretz Kasher Nashaba Shemayim. May your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Yeshua, Jesus, had come to preach about the kingdom of heaven. In fact, as I mentioned earlier, the reality of the kingdom of heaven could be said to be the main theme of the entire Bible, and certainly the theme of the book of Matthew, the kingdom of heaven. And many Jewish prayers follow this basic formula. If you learn this basic formula, you'll know half of all Jewish prayers. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Ha'olam. Why don't you all try and say that with me? Is that up there? Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Ha'olam. If you know those few words, you'll be able to do at least half of all Jewish prayer, because all Jewish prayer starts with those words, just about all prayer. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe. So Jewish prayer is always focusing on God as King, and again, Yeshua does that here in this prayer as well. By praying, may your kingdom come, we're reminded that prayer is not merely a list of personal requests. We are to be involved in helping to establish God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Now, we do that through our prayers, but we also do that through our actions. I think it's a wonderful thing that the Messiah has called us, as followers of his, to be agents of his kingdom. Each one of you, if you're a believer in Jesus, you're a kingdom agent. And we are called to partner with God in his redemption of this world. We are called to bring his kingdom down to this earth, not just through our prayers, but through our actions as well. And that's the most amazing thing. And he not only called us to do this, but he has given us his spirit, he has given us his authority, and he sent us out as his representatives, as his disciples, kingdom agents. And so in everything we do, we should remember that we are subjects of the kingdom, allowing the rule of God in our lives and praying that his rule will also be established in this world that we live in. Yeshua's model prayer, once again, would sound familiar to those who know the Bible. It's a beautiful prayer that David wrote, as recorded in 1 Chronicles. And he said, Praise be to you, Lord, the God of our father Israel. From everlasting to everlasting, yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom, and you are exalted forever as head over all. Isn't that a beautiful prayer? Sounds certainly very similar to some aspects of the Lord's Prayer. And so also, the Lord's Prayer teaches us about God's provision for our lives. And while it may be essential for us to focus on the kingdom of God, this prayer teaches us that God is also interested in the very small things in our lives, our daily bread, our daily bread. Give us the food, or in Hebrew, it really is lechem, our daily bread we need. Such basic essentials for life as the food that we need, our daily bread, is also part of an appropriate prayer. In Jewish tradition, we give thanks to God for the bread that he brought forth from the earth. And this prayer of Yeshua's reminds us of the very basic Jewish prayer that's said just about before every meal, and certainly on the Sabbath, and that is, blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. This reminds us of the time when the Israelites were wandering around the wilderness for 40 years. We had been delivered out of Egypt. We were wandering for 40 years, and yet God continued on a daily basis to give us bread. The manna every morning was on the ground. The Israelites scooped it up, and they ate the bread every day. On the Sabbath, the day before the Sabbath, God gave them a double portion of the manna so they wouldn't have to work on the Sabbath. And so this prayer of Jesus reminds us also of this daily manna that God gives us. And also reminds us that we shouldn't worry about the things of life. God knows our needs, and he will provide it for us. Remember what Jesus said to his disciples a little bit further on in Matthew chapter 6. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And we should remember that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And so we should not only seek our daily physical bread, but we need to seek our daily spiritual bread as well. The Lord also incorporated in this model prayer the prayer for forgiveness. In fact, it's a prayer not only that God will forgive us of our sins, but it's based on the need that we should forgive others of their sins first. And Yeshua said, forgive us what we have done wrong, as we too have forgiven those who have wronged us. In our humanity, we are sure to sin, and we are sure to offend others. Our first thing that we should ask for is for God to forgive us. No excuses, no justifications. We simply need to own up to the things that we have done wrong. And we also need to be able to forgive others. Asking God for forgiveness and forgiving others. Receiving and giving of forgiveness are very important themes. Also within Judaism, there's a prayer which is called the Amidah prayer, which is very old. It goes back 2,000 years to the time of Jesus. It was used around that time in the temple. And in those days, it was 18 benedictions, 18 prayers. Today, it's 19 prayers. But the sixth blessing of the Amidah begins with these words, Selecha la'anu avinu, our Father, forgive us for our sins. Selach lanu avinu. It's a beautiful prayer. One of the important Hebrew words that you should learn if you ever travel to Israel is slicha. Slicha. Can everyone try to say slicha? You really have to learn that word if you want to travel to Israel. Slicha is excuse me, or pardon me. It comes from the Hebrew word forgive me. But the way that you use it in Israel is if you want to push into any line. And there are no lines in Israel. No one stands in a line. Everyone pushes to get to the front. So you have to use that word, slicha, slicha, as you move forward in any place in Israel and just go and ask for forgiveness at the same time. So just remember that if you travel to Israel, learn the word slicha. And this is the root word of the word forgive me or forgiveness. In ancient Jewish prayer, there's many prayers asking our Father to forgive us for our sins. And there's another beautiful prayer which is called the Avinu Malkeinu prayer. In Hebrew it's Avinu Malkeinu, Chanenu Ba'anenu, Ke'en Banu Ma'asim, Ase Imanu Tzedaka V'chesed V'hoshienu. Our Father and our King, be compassionate to us and answer us, for we have no deeds. Grant us charity and benevolence and redeem us. What a beautiful prayer. Certainly reflected again in the Lord's Prayer. My brother Alan once said to me, the measure of one's spiritual maturity can be seen in your ability to forgive and also to be forgiven. To forgive and also to be forgiven. Also, the Lord's Prayer includes a prayer for deliverance, a prayer for deliverance from hard testing. Do not lead us into hard testing, but keep us safe from the evil one. This is a reminder that we need God's help every day, His spiritual deliverance, His spiritual help in our life. Life is always difficult, with lots of many strange twists and turns. We'll all be tested, and so it's appropriate for us to pray that God will not lead us into hard testing. According to James chapter 1, verse 13, God is not the one who tempts us to do evil. And this is entirely contrary to the nature of God and His hopes for His people. Sin is more often our own surrender to the evil desires within us. So we are told to pray that we might endure hard testing no matter what the source. So our own sin might be the source of our temptation, but also it is true. And Yeshua mentions here that the other source of our temptation is, in Hebrew, ha-satan. That is Satan, the adversary, Hasatan. And sadly, Hasatan is alive and well, and he's seeking to devour any unsuspecting soul, so we need to be alert. We need to resist Satan. Although there's a great spiritual battle for our souls, this prayer reminds us to call out to God to keep us safe. And it's wonderful to know that our Father has not left us alone. He has provided the spiritual armor we need on a daily basis for the spiritual battle that we're in. Assuredly, the battle will be intense at many times, but we are promised that if we abide in Jesus, that we will be delivered. As 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 says, the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Messiah is in us, and He has given us the ability to conquer. And then finally, this prayer ends off again with a reflection on the kingdom of God. The last phrase, for kingship, power, and glory are yours forever. Amen. This phrase is absent from some of the oldest manuscripts and sometimes is left out certain translations. But this particular Bible that we're using includes this final part of the Lord's Prayer, and I think it's a very fitting end to this prayer because, again, it is a reflection on the kingship of God. And this prayer reminds us of the sovereignty of God. He is in control. Let me just remind us that as we look forward to 2016, God is in control. Sometimes we look at the world with all the news that we're getting around the world, we think this world is going out of control. God is in control. Do not fear. Our Father loves us. He has a plan and a purpose for us. We don't have to fear the future. We are in His will and we are in His kingdom. So don't fear. And this prayer reminds us that He is the King. And this prayer speaks about the kingdom of God. And the second part of this prayer reminds us of the central confession of the Jewish faith, which is also part of the Anglican liturgy that I think you do every week. That is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. It's a central confession of the Jewish faith. In the Jewish confession of faith, the second part of that goes on to say, Baruch Shem Kavod Malchoto Le'olam Va'ed. Blessed be his name, whose glorious kingdom is forever and ever. So our prayer life should focus on the kingdom, and our very actions must be for the glory of God. This would seem to be the ultimate test of a true spiritual prayer, one that is in line with the very heart of the Father, our Father in heaven. And so just to conclude, let me remind us what I believe this prayer is teaching us, the application for our lives. The disciples' prayer is not only a paradigm for powerful prayer, but also contains within it the key, I believe, to discipleship. The key to discipleship that is found in the first verse. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. In the book of Numbers, I mentioned there's a prayer that God himself wrote. God gave the Israelites a prayer and said to the priest, this is how you are to bless the nation of Israel. And it was a prayer that God wrote, and he said, when you pray this prayer for the Israelites, I will put my name upon them. It's a beautiful prayer, Numbers chapter 6, verse 24 to 26. But here too, Yeshua writes a prayer, gives it to his disciples. And he begins this prayer with this idea that we are called to sanctify the name of God, or to hallow the name of God. How do we do that? Well, we sanctify God's name by our conduct on this earth, the way we live out our faith. We are to live in a way that is consistent with the calling that God has given us. By the things that we do at home, by the things that we do in this world, the way that we speak to people, the way that we treat others, we are sanctifying God's name in our lives. It has to do with our conduct. Praise God that he's given us his Holy Spirit to help us to live in a way that sanctifies his name. And so Yeshua finishes his prayer, as all prayers in Judaism finish, with the Hebrew word, Amen. Amen, which means, so be it, or he is faithful. To remind us that God is the one who's able to complete all that he has asked us to do if we surrender our lives to him. If we make him king of our lives, we'll be able to sanctify his name on this earth. Amen. Thank you very much.